Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is just. How does that make you feel? Well, in these verses, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? The Christians at Thessalonica, to whom Paul was writing here, were suffering persecution, enduring all kinds of trials and tribulations. Paul encourages them by telling them, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. Well, that sounds like a pretty sweet deal. Think about all the different kinds of trials and troubles and sufferings that you face in your life. Maybe even persecutions at times. Now think about God paying back all of those people who are causing trouble for you in your life, giving them some trouble of their own to deal with. That sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Man, I can't wait for that day to come. Sometimes I think those kinds of thoughts when I'm out on the road driving. When somebody cuts me off, you've been waiting a long time in that exit lane, and then all of a sudden somebody or five cars muscle their way in front of you. So far, that's only happened to me just a few times since I've been here in Chicago. If you can believe it, it's at least 10 times as bad in China, in Wuhan, where we lived. Certainly a daily occurrence, if not multiple times each time you hit the road. It's kind of a game of chicken to see if you can defend your lane position, and often it's a game that you just can't win. If you don't get out of the way when the other guy starts muscling his way into your lane, and if the cars collide, then you will probably get blamed for not yielding to him who wants to get into your lane. And usually the kinds of cars that pull that kind of maneuver are often 10 or 20 times more expensive than the cheap little Chevrolet that I was driving. An expensive BMW or Mercedes or Porsche. Sometimes I thought about trying to teach the other guy a lesson and just not getting out of the way, letting him crash into me. But then I realized that I would end up paying for that lesson most likely, and that it would probably be pretty expensive. So grudgingly, I would get out of the way and let them cut in, and then daydream about justice. And so when I hear in the text today that God, in his justice, will pay back those who bring trouble to me, I can't help but feel a little bit of Schadenfreude. If you're familiar with that term, it's a German word describing when you take pleasure at the suffering of others. I sometimes long for the day when those people will finally get their comeuppance, finally get what's coming to them. But then I also need to think about the prospect of myself on the receiving end of God's judgment. Because there have been times, though fewer and farther between, when I have been that rude driver who muscled his way into the front of the line. And apart from driving, there have been many times when I certainly did many other things even worse than that. God is just. Sometimes we could all use a healthier dose of the fear of God's judgment than we normally have. Maybe not quite to the extreme of Martin Luther, if you remember what we heard about him last week, or if you've read about him on your own. He was buried alive by his feelings of guilt, his fear of the righteous wrath of God and the punishment that he knew from Scripture God promised on those who sin. But a healthy dose of sincere reflection on the judgment that awaits the sinners, the unrighteous on the last day, would be good for all of us. How often do we think about the blazing fires of God's judgment and of the powerful angels who will come down to cut down the wicked and throw them into the eternal fires of hell? How often do we think about the punishment of everlasting destruction of the wicked and of being shut out forever from the presence of God and from any blessing from Him? If you're like me, you probably don't think about that very often. Instead, we usually have a convenient way of shutting out that uncomfortable truth, shutting out of our minds any thought about God's judgment on sin. And we often think to ourselves that we can sin with impunity, without punishment. But when we think in that way, we inch closer and closer to the brink of eternal damnation. And if we're not careful, at some point we might fall over the edge of that cliff. And that is certainly what we deserve. Because of all of those times that we've willfully turned our backs on God and gone against His will, we deserve to suffer the eternal fires of hell, God's righteous judgment, to be shut out of His presence forever. God is just, and He would have been perfectly justified in sending us to hell after our very first sin, and certainly after our thousandth or our millionth sin. But this will not be our fate, because God is just, and He has made a judgment upon us even before we were born. In fact, even before He created the world, He chose us and pronounced a judgment on us of holy and righteous in His sight through the forgiveness of sins that God knew that Jesus would accomplish for us by His death on the cross. God made this judgment on us even before we had done a single good thing in our lives, before we had taken a single breath. And so we know that there is absolutely no way that this judgment of God is based on anything good that we have done, not at all based on any of our own merit. It is simply a gift of God's grace through the merit of Jesus. The devil, however, tries to convince us, and God, otherwise. He points out our sin, the very sins that He Himself tempted us to commit. He accuses us before God and before our own consciences. He attempts to lead us into despair because of our guilt, to question how it could possibly be true that we are righteous and holy in God's sight when we have done and still do wretched, and terrible, and despicable things against God and against other people. The devil asks God to convict us and to sentence us to the maximum punishment allowable by the law, everlasting destruction with Himself in hell. But then our defender comes forward and stands between us and the accuser. Just in case God the Father could ever forget, and He can't, our defender exhibits for the court His own nail-pierced hands and feet, and the side that was torn by a spear. He untucks his shirt from his belt and lifts it up in the back to show the court the scars from the scourging that he has received. He pulls the hair away from his forehead to show the court the puncture scars that are still visible from the thorns on the crown of thorns that were pressed into his head. As we just sang in that hymn before our sermon, those dear tokens of his passion still his dazzling body bears, cause of endless exaltation to his ransomed worshipers. But to the devil, those scars of the defender Jesus cause a fit of frustration. The devil objects. He objects to this display of the defense, and he requests that the judge rule out this evidence as inadmissible or inadequate to balance out the multitude of our wrongdoings and our sins that we have committed. But the Father, the righteous judge, declares, "My ruling is just. My judgment is right. I know that they have sinned, but my Son has already paid for all of their sins. Your accusations, Satan, ring hollow. You will not prevail against them. And if the scars of my son and his glorious resurrected body were not sufficient evidence, here is more evidence for you. As we read in our reading, their faith is growing more and more. The love that every one of them has for each other is increasing. They have kept the faith and persevered in all kinds of persecutions and trials. All this is evidence that my judgment is right. They are holy and righteous through the blood of my son Jesus, though they may not appear to be so to you. As a result, they will be counted worthy of my kingdom. You may continue to make them suffer for a little while, Satan, but you will not be able to drag them down with you to eternal suffering because they belong to me. And one day soon, I will send my son to bring the final judgment of destruction upon the earth and confirm my judgment upon these, my people, and bring them into my heavenly kingdom. That event, the joyous reunion of myself with my people, will be the crowning glory of my son. And there's nothing that you can do about it, Satan. But you will continue to weep and suffer forever in the fires of hell, together with all those who have followed you instead of following my son, their Savior. Brothers and sisters, as we hear this gracious judgment of our God, praise him that he is just and loving. Praise him because he did not treat us as our sins deserve, but in his loving judgment, he punished his own son in our place for our sins. Praise God for that judgment that he has pronounced upon us already, that he has already declared us to be holy and righteous in his sight because of the righteousness of Jesus. Praise God that he has given evidence of his righteous judgment to us, the evidence of the fruits of the faith that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. As we see our faith growing, as we see our mutual love increasing, as we persevere and keep the faith in persecution and in all kinds of trials, God is reminding us that his judgment is right, that he has declared us righteous by the blood of his son. As we see these fruits of faith in ourselves and in our Christian brothers and sisters, God is encouraging us and reminding us of his promise that he will strengthen us in faith and keep us in faith until he brings us to our eternal home of heaven on the last day or on our own last days. Praise God for that blessing of being able to know right now what that future day of judgment holds. That day of judgment does not hold punishment and suffering, but rather relief from our suffering, just as Paul writes in our text. And finally, pray that God would continue to use us to share that message of his love, of his gracious judgment through Jesus, so that more people would be rescued from the eternal fires of hell and be taken on the last day, together with all of us, to the eternal blessings of heaven. Amen. Please stand. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.